according to St. John, chapter number 15. Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 15. We'll read the first 17 verses. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. May God bless the reading of his word and let us know.
Father in heaven, we would come before thee again in this afternoon upon bended knees. We come to thee because thou art the source of life. Thou art perfect in all of thy ways. Thou art true and everlasting. Thou wilt never fail. We are small, and we see that there are so little of the things that happen on this very small planet that are under our control. Even the parts of our bodies, the hairs of our head, we cannot make white or black. And so with awe and reverence we come to thee. We come to thee because we know that thou art in control. And we pray that our hearts would be aligned with that reality, and that we would look up to thee with eyes of faith and ask, Lord, for thy blessing. It is thy blessing that we need, thy presence and thy word to strengthen and sustain us. Everything that we have for our life and for the fulfillment of our soul is all coming from thee. Help us to abide in the attitude and the character of loving trust in thee, our gracious God. Help us to remember how small we are. Help us, O Lord, to grow as thou would have us to grow, that we would be moldable and humble, and be pressed into the image of thy word, that we would come forth made in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thou hast much work to do. We pray, dear Lord, that we would, with urgency and with sincerity, seek that thou would work within us to thy honor and to thy glory, for we pray these things through Jesus' name. Amen.
That both this morning's reading and this afternoon's reading were exclusively the words of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All the verses we've read today, Jesus himself spoke while he was here upon this earth. And so we know that this is truth because Jesus himself said that he has come to bring forth the words of his Father, and he brought it unto us in a way where we can understand it, in a way where we can absorb it mentally and the abundance of our lives to be reflected that we have his word abiding in us. Jesus here is speaking and saying that there is a relationship that needs to happen, and this relationship is very important. First and foremost, Jesus has had a relationship with the Father. In chapter 17, we can read that before the world was, him and his Father were together. They shared glory, as Jesus had said. They shared glory before the world was. And so there was a relationship, there was a bond between the Father and the Son. God the Father, God the Son, throughout all eternity, throughout all time. And so Jesus then here is upon this earth, and he's bringing forth the word of his Father, and he wants us also to have this relationship, just as he had with the Father, that we might have that relationship with the Lord as well. And so as we consider this truth and this message that we are being called here in the word that we read together, that Jesus spoke, that we are to have this relationship or this closeness with the Lord, that we would understand who he is, and that we would be abiding or living in his will, and that we would glorify him and by bearing much fruit in this life. This is what Jesus here is teaching and bringing forth a message to all people of all time. And so when we consider a relationship that we might have here upon this earth, perhaps a husband and wife or whatever it might be, we know that a relationship can be so close that the one can finish the other's sentences. The one knows exactly what motivates the other. The one knows exactly what the likes and the dislikes are of the other. And when two are very close in this life, they're familiar with each other's mannerisms. All these things, because there's a closeness, because there's a relationship, because there's a connectedness. And that's probably the key word, is a connectedness with one another. So Jesus here is saying that he wants us to have this connectedness, that we might abide with him, abide in the vine. And so in this reading that we had, there was the word abide mentioned 9 times in this, and more references to it as well, that it's that relationship that we would have with Jesus Christ, with our Lord, that we would have that connectedness with him. And so perhaps a key verse here is verse number 10 that we read. Jesus is saying here, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." This is a key verse here that we can take with us and that we can understand this connectedness that Jesus wants us to have. So this sentence could also be read that ye shall abide in my love by keeping my commandments. And so let that be the driving thought that we would have this afternoon, is that we would have a closeness with our Lord. We would abide in his love by keeping his commandments. This is how we'll have that closeness. This is how we'll have that connectedness, is by keeping the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's consider that as we go through these verses. Jesus here says that I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so he's defining the roles of each and every one. We are simply branches. Of ourselves, we cannot bear fruit. We have to abide in the vine, Jesus Christ being the vine, and the Father being the husbandman. And so God the Father then would purge those that do bear fruit, meaning that he would take away those things that are preventing it from blooming and blossoming and bringing forth more fruit, and that those that would not bear any fruit, he would simply snip that away. And he continues on and says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then in verses 4 and 5, he says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in the vine, abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And again, so Jesus is defining our roles and our abilities and who he is. And so it's very clear here that the only way that we can bear fruit is that if we abide or are connected or have a relationship with the Lord. That's the only way that we can bear any fruit. Without Jesus, the Bible says here, we can do nothing. Nothing. It's not that we can do some things or make a little progress. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. We can't bear any fruit at all. If ye abide in me, if ye abide not in me, if a man not abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. There is no use for a branch that is not connected to the vine, that is not bearing fruit, that is not vibrant and alive. Abide in me, and my word shall abide in you, and ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If we have that relationship with the Lord, that connectedness, that we know the Lord, and that we spend time in his word, and we spend time in prayer, we spend time bearing fruit to his honor and to his glory, by his grace and by his strength, then we have that connectedness with him, and we can ask him that he would be our strength, that we can ask them that he will provide grace for the day, that he will provide grace to endure or grace to overcome. And so therefore he says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We can ask him for these gifts of grace, these gifts of his presence, and he will provide them for us. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples, Jesus Christ says. Isn't that the objective, the main objective of our life? Isn't that goal number one, vision or mission statement number one, is that our lives would glorify the Lord? He's our creator. He's the creator of all things. He has done great things for us. He has blessed us richly with life and the knowledge of his will and salvation and the hope of eternal life. He has blessed us with so much. And so that's our desire, is to glorify him. Well, how do we glorify him? The Bible says here clearly, Jesus Christ, that ye bear much fruit. But we have to abide in the vine that we might bear fruit. The only way we can bear fruit is by abiding in the vine, by being connected to Jesus. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. He's saying, I've had this closeness with God the Father before the world was. We shared this glory. We shared this glory before the world was. And he's saying here that as God hath loved me, so have I loved you. And so he's saying that we would continue in that love as well. So as there was a relationship between God the Father and God the Son, that Jesus Christ is here saying that he wants to have a relationship with us in the same manner. not diminished at all, not to any lower level, but to have that love that he and the Father have, that we would have that same love one with our Lord as well. And so he says, continue in my love, or abide, or be connected to my love. And so he continues on and says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as this would be as a key verse here. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. We can have the fullness of joy when we are knowing that we are, as his creation, connected to the vine, and that we can receive that source of strength, that source of life from being connected to he who is the abundant life, and that through his grace and through his strength, we are bearing fruit to his honor and to his glory. That brings a fulfillment and a joy that this world cannot give. And we experience that. And as we experience these things, it lifts us up and it gives us that great joy. And praise be to God for that. And then he says, and this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And so there might be a lot of duplicity from this morning's message, but here's the message. This is the message of Jesus Christ. And this message goes forth continuously, whether it was on the Sermon on the Mount or whether he was speaking to others by saying that there is no greater commandment than that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. There is no greater commandment. All the law and the prophets is hung on these two commandments. There is no greater commandment. And so it's not surprising that yet again here Jesus is teaching not only his disciples at this very time, but us as well in this day, that this is his commandment, that we would love one another as he has loved us. So we can abide in the vine. Jesus says we can abide only one way, and that's by keeping his commandments. And his commandment here that he says is that we would love one another as he has loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did this. He laid down his life for us, his friends. He did that. And perhaps none of us here will ever be called to that high level of a love that we would have to physically lay down our lives for each other. But it may be, and it certainly will be, that we will have to lay down our will or our desire for one another. And so he says this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Again, here's this commandment. He keeps referring back to his commandment. And both in verse number 12 and in verse number 17, he's saying what his ultimate commandment is that we would love one another. That we would love God and that we would love one another. And so he says here, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. As God the Father, God the Son were together in glory before the world was, they shared that closeness, and now here Jesus is here upon this earth, and he's bringing forth a message that God would have us to have. And that we would know God's will in fullness, that nothing would be a mystery to us as to obtaining our salvation. But he has made known all things that he has heard of his Father unto us. And he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. Again, this is the desire, is that we would glorify God. And we glorify God by bearing much fruit to his honor and to his glory. Much fruit. And so we have been ordained to this mission that we would bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And these things I command you, that ye love one another, he says again. And so that's the message. That's the message. We have to have a connectedness or a relationship with God the Father. We can only have that if we abide in Jesus Christ, in the vine. And through that, we will have the source of life and the source of strength that would give us that ability to bear fruit to God's honor and to his glory. And we are cleansed, as Jesus said here. We are clean through the word that he has spoken unto us. And then there's this fullness of joy that comes because by his grace and by his strength, we were able to bear fruit. And so that's the way that Jesus Christ here designed it. And so let's consider, as we did this morning, let's consider some of the attributes of love. We read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 what love is. Well, first and foremost, we have to identify that God is love. God is love, and he's the source of that love, of that true and boundless love that he has bestowed unto the world. So God is love. And by his grace, we can abide in that love. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it speaks there of what love is and what love isn't. So we'll spend a little bit of time, and they were touched upon this morning, of what love is. And the Bible there in chapter 13 says that charity or love is kind. That's one attribute of what love is. And again, let's think about this, what the ultimate goal is and how do we get there and what it is that we need what it is that we need to do. And so love is kind. That's how the Bible defines of what love is. And throughout the scriptures we can see the theme of kindness and its great value. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read that we can approve ourselves to be, the King James Version uses the ministers of God, but simply that's just the servant of God. We can approve ourselves to be the servants of God by kindness is one of the attributes that it says here, and by love unfeigned. Not a love that would pretend to love, but a genuine love. Just as the Bible says that we can't tell somebody to be warmed and filled, but we don't give him those things that would give him that ability to be warmed and filled. It's a follow through, and it's a sacrifice on our part to the benefit of another. So we can be approved as servants of God by love unfeigned, and the Bible says also here, and by kindness. This is how we will abide in the vine. Is by having this this kindness in our hearts and being approved as truly his servants. And then in Ephesians, it also says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This is the message of truth. This is the message of life. This is the message of how we will be connected to the vine, how we will have this relationship, how we will abide in Jesus Christ. On Wednesday night, we heard about how it is that we should take evil spirits out of us, that there was seven spirits that were, or there was an evil spirit that was taken out of a man. And it can't simply be that we would put evil out of our hearts, as it says here in Ephesians, where it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Certainly we want to do that. We want to put that away from us. But then we don't want to leave our heart empty. We want to fill it with the Spirit. And here is how it is filled. It says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This is how we will have that connectedness with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bitterness, wrath, evil speaking never brought fruit to God's honor and glory. Never has. Never has. Kindness does. Kindness brings fruit to God's honor and to God's glory. And so therefore he says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is how we'll abide in the vine. And then another attribute of love would be long-suffering or patience. And again, going back to that chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says here that we can approve ourselves as the servants of God by long-suffering, as one of the attributes mentioned here. By long-suffering. When there's a relationship, there's always some times when there are some things that aren't so smooth or there are some differences. But through those differences, there is a need for patience. There is a need for long-suffering. And so, therefore, the Scripture says that through patience, we will be approved by God as His servants. And the Bible also says that we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Again, this is our objective, is to glorify God, and we can glorify Him by being fruitful, by bearing fruit to His honor and to His glory. And so he's saying we can walk worthy unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, not our own, His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. This is what we'll see us through. This is what we'll see us through throughout life's circumstances, throughout life's difficulty, is patience and long-suffering. And then when we have that, we can endure, and even as the Bible says here, with joyfulness in our hearts. King Solomon had experienced many things in his life, and he has written down a lot of them. And in Ecclesiastes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote that better is the patient in spirit than the proud in spirit. He'd seen many things, King Solomon. And his conclusion was, better is the patient in spirit than the proud in spirit. As we go through life, there will be some issues that we have to endure, that we'll simply have to go through. And a lot of times, if we focus on that, on those issues, we'll miss it. So when an issue comes, as a child of God, the first thing we need to do as soldiers of His is go to our knees and pray to God that He would give strength, that He would give grace, and that He would give wisdom. And that He would also give us patience through these things that we would have to endure. And then as we go to the Lord and wait upon Him, and asking that His will would be done in His time through an issue that we might be going through, we'll find that the Lord is gracious and the Lord is good. And He worked out everything perfectly, perfectly. Usually when we try to take matters in our own hands, we'll muddle it up pretty good. We'll make a mess out of it. But when we commit it to the Lord and have patience and wait on the Lord, He will perform marvelously. When we give it over to Him, He will do wonderful things. He will do things the way He desires it and in His time. And then we'll give Him the glory and the honor after He has done that. And so when we go through things, we have to consider, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. But ours is to have patience through that. And so as we consider this scripture and these truths, that again, perhaps it's a lot of redundancy from this morning's message, but again, this is the message of God. God is love. And he wants us to have this connectedness with him. And so as Jesus Christ brought forth this message and brought forth this truth, he brought it down from one level, and he's saying that I've had a closeness with God the Father, and the closeness that I've had with God the Father, I want to have that same closeness with you. And if we abide in the vine, we will be able to bear much fruit, and that fruit will be to God's honor and to his glory. And how do we abide in the vine? It's by keeping his commandments. His commandment is that we love one another. Love is kind. Love is patient. That's the message that Jesus Christ gave. Perhaps sometimes we can understand it is if we work it up backwards. If we focus in our lives that we are to be, by God's grace and by his strength, that we are to be kind and that we are to be patient, and by his grace we can do these things, then we know with the certainty that we are then keeping Jesus' commandments. And then we know with a certainty that if we are keeping his commandments, that we are abiding in the vine. And if we are abiding in the vine, then we are bearing much fruit to God's honor and to his glory. And then we could know then of a surety that we have a connectedness and a relationship with God the Father. And so that's how it works. That's how God designed it. And God wants us to do that. So perhaps, for me, I always want, what's the summary of it? What's the bottom line? The bottom line is that we fulfill God's commandments, and that is to be kind and to be patient, among other attributes that are listed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the summary of it. If we do these things, we will be his disciples. We will be clean through the word that he has spoken unto us. We will have an abundant life because we are connected to the source of life. Praise be to God for this truth that he has given to each and every one of us. I'd like to close by reading a few verses that the Apostle Peter had written, and it speaks about the virtues that God would have us to abide in, and that as we would know these things and know his word and have this relationship and this connectedness with him, and that as Brother Robert prayed, that we would grow in the Lord. Here the Apostle Peter, after he had experienced many things in walking with the Lord, and then being one of the founding fathers of Christianity, he speaks here, and he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience." There's one of those words that are an attribute of love. "And to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, being kind and tenderhearted one toward another, forgiving one another, and to brotherly kindness, charity." The ultimate love. God is love. And so this is what we grow in. And then Peter says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Amen.